B-Pod Studios.
Let's go.
Get up.
It's a sports thing. Boston is known for that type of stuff.
And get in the game.
That's why they hate us, because they ain't us.
Toucher and Rich.
No, I don't want to kill anybody.
Mornings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yes. St. Bart's is beautiful this time of year. St. Bart's is a beautiful island with despicable people.
What kind of people are there? I don't know.
People who listen to techno music and order $5,000 bottles of champagne on the beach. Just get me out of there. And like, Buffett's got a place there, so you're thinking, like, Jimmy, can you, like, no shirts, no shoes, no problem.
So there was a moment, which, by the way, down where my mother was, there's a Margaritaville Retirement Center, of course.
I passed it.
Which is, you know, mammoth. It's absolutely enormous.
Yeah.
It, you know, takes up a whole zip code. But even more so, if you want to know just what a grasp he has, that Jimmy Buffett, on milking it for every dollar it is worth. So last night, I was sitting at LaGuardia Airport on my layover. I'd been there for 5 hours. They kept moving back the time, and finally, it said we were going to leave at like 9:30. And after 9:30 is basically, you're canceled. So I'm sitting there.
Did you end up getting hammered?
No, I did nothing. You know what I was doing? I did two things. One, I kept reading Twitter about the trade deadline, and not the trade deadline, but all the free agency stuff, which is really interesting yesterday. And at one point, I kind of jokingly put out there what that guy in the car did who was obsessed with Ghost. I said, I kind of just want to talk to somebody about the new Ghost album. And I just tweeted back and forth with people about the new Ghost album.
Well, I mean,
2 hours worth of talking about the new Ghost album.
If there was ever a sane moment to do it, it would be during a layover.
But my point was is that at right around 8 o'clock, when I saw they had moved it to 9:30, I started saying to myself, I might just have to spend the night in the city and then maybe take the train back the next morning. So I started looking, you know, on Expedia, some places to stay. Did you know that Jimmy Buffett has a chain of hotels? There is a Margaritaville Hotel near Times Square.
Oh,
of course
boy.
It's near Times Square. But yes, there's a Margaritaville Hotel.
Okay. Is there any end to how dumb people are? So the whole point of Margaritaville is that you got your shoes off, you got a drink that's going to give you a giant hangover in your hand, you know, like a big frozen drink, and you're just lollygagging in a hammock.
The Margaritaville.
Is there anything that says not Margaritaville more than Times Square, New York?
It's the Margaritaville Resort at Times Square.
It's a resort.
I can only imagine the amenities.
I got to imagine the amenities include a pool.
Each pillow says changes in latitude. Oh,
isn't the whole point of Margaritaville to get out of New York?
Well, it's a giant, look, you walk in, there's a giant flip-flop. It's like their statue.
I understand, like, when you play Cincinnati, you want to escape reality for a minute and not pretend you're not standing in a parking lot in Cincinnati, that you're on some. But the whole point in changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, isn't it to get the hell out of New York City? By the way, you can stay in New York City for like $5 now.
Well, that was the thing, is there are a bunch of places, because I was going to try to stay near Penn Station, and Times Square is real close to it. So that's the only reason I would ever think about staying in near Times Square.
Yeah, I had to stay near Times Square.
Yeah.
No leggy.
Oh, yeah. So the Margaritaville Resort at Times Square, I saw that, I'm like, I might just stay there just to get some pictures and report
just to
back.
Infuriate me. We have a 3-foot by 4-foot wading pool on the roof. It's a real situation.
Ooh, they got a tiki bar.
Yeah, just right there next to the M&M store. It's a real.
The Landshark Bar and Grill, the 5 o'clock somewhere bar, the licensed to chill bar.
I have to give him credit though, because Landshark tastes so much different than every other beer.
You know, I had a Landshark and it wasn't bad.
No, it's every other beer.
Fine. Yeah. It's fine.
They might as well just pour Budweiser in the Landshark thing. So anyway, did you guys watch any of the tournament yesterday? I don't know if you were fortunate enough to win.
I did. That's the one thing I could do at the airport. There were TVs all over the place that had that. Yes.
Here's what I will say about the tournament. So like Georgia State hung with Gonzaga for a while. And it's like 16 seed Georgia State. Every single one of those kids on that Georgia State team would dominate your kids' everyone out there, your kid's team around here to such a degree that it's not even funny. Mm-hmm. Like, those kids, the tournament, and Steven said it, like, to play at Davidson for 4 years, like, you know how good at basketball you have to be? And I understand, and by the way, Gonzaga are pussies. The Georgia State was missing their big man, and there was times that Holmgren kid had a guy that was 6'4 on him. Holmgren's like 7'2, and the 6'4 kid's pushing him around. Now, I will say that Holmgren kid's got a good handle, and he's pretty fast, but that idiot Tammy kid.
Timmy.
Timmy, they couldn't stop him with his mustache.
I told you. Timmy's the guy.
And then I saw Iowa get fouled like 45 times that there were no calls.
Correct.
And that Richmond was handed that game.
Oh, yeah.
That Iowa should have won that game for sure.
I didn't see that game, but I read it on Twitter in Dan Lifshitz's timeline.
It was bad.
A lot of anger about the referees.
So, they're down by like 4. Kid from Iowa takes a 3. And you know how Marcus Smart... his hand was touched after the release of the ball.
Yes.
Well, take that and move the guy's arm. Like just make contact and move the kid's arm. So they stop play and they go to review. And I will say congratulations to the guy on True TV, because he's like, what is going on? What is happening? Like, how is this kid not shooting 3 free throws? They kept a kid was hit. A kid, there was a, so Iowa got it within 2. A kid got a rebound and put it back up and was hip checked.
He was submarined.
He was submarined, yes, and they didn't call, and they didn't call a foul on that, nope. Which would have gotten the game within
and
1.
Give the guys credit. He said that should have been an and-1 and wasn't called.
Yeah, well, they both said it should have been an and-1. And then that's the game. I mean, if you call that, the kid hits the free throw. It's a 1-point game. Now when you're fouling.
Yeah.
Now you're fouling.
You have to race back down the court for a prayer 3. Yes.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Difference. Well, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world because now I'm fouling. Now I'm getting the ball back with two wins the game. But the idea that these teams like St. Peter's, like the idea that these teams are no good, like now that my kid's like about to turn 14, these kids are unbelievable. They can like jump out of the gym.
It's amazing how programs can change over the course of a couple of years. I can tell you St. Peter's visited Bryant 2 years ago, and Bryant ran him out of the building.
Yeah, but
and here we are 2 years later, and they're picking off a massive upset.
I mean, the inbound plays that are just alley-oops.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad teams even can do that. So, I mean, if your kid's like the belle of the ball around here, like at basketball, I got news for you. They blow. Because everyone on these so-called bad, like, you know, low-seeded teams are 45 times the basketball player I've ever seen around here.
I do love watching Barkley and the rest of the crew try to BS that they actually know what they're talking about these smaller teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you can totally tell. And Barkley doesn't try to hide it even anymore. Like, Barkley just speaks in generalities for most of it. Unless you're, like, one of the top-seeded teams, he's just, when he's talking about you, he's, like, at one point he was saying, you know what people say about rebounding? You got to know how to just get the damn ball. Like, he's just speaking it like something that has nothing to do with the actual game.
What you need is one dork that, like, is completely into it.
You need a fine bomb for college basketball.
Right. You just need, like, the guy
who knows everything about that. Yes.
And then the rest of the guys are just there to entertain.
Yep.
You know, so yes, Barkley doesn't know who's on North Carolina.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, maybe.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He barely
he does
watches
bet a lot.
The NBA.
He bets a lot.
I don't think he bets based on knowledge. I think he bets because he likes to gamble. Like, do you think Barkley's like putting on bifocals and like breaking down stuff?
When I see him speak about a team that he truly seems to know something about, my first thing that's in my head is that, well, he's put money on that team before. Am I wrong? Is that not what
you... I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
If you're Barkley and that's your job, I mean, I'd be gambling constantly or I'd lose my mind. Like if I had to, like, watch a slate of NBA games like 3 days a week,
and then add to it. Oh no, we're going to have you do college basketball also.
Yeah,
and
like I'm betting
you
on
haven't
every...
seen. There's it's not a mistake that they allow him to like adorn his area with Auburn stuff. It's to keep him interested.
Well, and Al Michaels gambles on all the games that he's calling.
Sure, to sound like it.
Yeah, because after a while, I mean, because you think, well, he makes a lot of money and like what a cool gig it is. And I'm sure for, you know, two decades, Al Michaels was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. But like everything else, now it's just a gig for him. So to keep his mind in it and to get a little juice going, I mean, Al Michaels obviously has money on every game he's calling.
Another thing I kept thinking is, how much money is Massachusetts losing by not having gambling legalized here? Like, I mean, it's just, you're sitting there watching it and you think of all the fun ways you could spend your money, and I know you can do it anyway, but it's different. It's different when you can just download an app and do it.
Of course it's different if you, yes.
Yeah, I don't, to be quite honest, I would have bet on some of these games.
I wouldn't have,
if I had an app.
It held my interest enough because these so-called bad teams are, their players are so far and away more talented than any kid I've seen play basketball around here. It's unbelievable. Joe, go ahead.
All right, so Fred, when you were talking about your son turning 14 and these kids being absolutely ridiculous at a sport, it triggered a horrible core memory that I have. So when I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old, my town, a little town in New Hampshire, put together what we thought was the most stacked baseball team of all time. We took the three teams in our town, picked all the best players from it. I rode the bench, and we went to Cooperstown. So we play in the first game, and we play a team from Georgia. Okay, we played a team from Georgia. We got one out. They won 21-0, and we didn't get in it back. So we're trading pins with them after the game. There's two teams from their town there. They were the B team, and that's how bad we lost.
Oh,
so thanks, guys.
Yeah, there was the time I told you where we played Jeter's team in a tournament. And they were beating us so bad, they thought it would be cute to let Jeter pitch. And Jeter at the time was throwing 90 from shortstop.
Jeez.
And so they just, and he, but he had no control, and they thought it was fun. Like, it would be like a cute thing to do, to let him throw.
Yeah, Georgia High School baseball started 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago they started playing games.
The thing about baseball, though, is that you can develop, like, you can add miles per hour on your fastball just by working at it. Like, and it's, like, I guess in hockey, like, I have a friend whose kid's in hockey, and, like, if you're not on the right team by the time you're eight, like, you kind of know. And in basketball, my point is, like, you're watching these kids. Like, these kids are, like, even, like, on, like, these kids are so much better than anyone around here. Like,
yeah.
And I've believe me, I've seen, been to Dana Barros and all these places. I mean, they're 1,000 times better than anyone I've seen play high school basketball around here. I'm sure there might be one exception. But, like, I know the kids in Newton that are supposed to be, like, really good would never sniff one of these teams. They couldn't be the ball boy for one of these teams. Like, in these teams that are 16 seeds. And like, Bryant, they couldn't play for Bryant. And the thing is that, but baseball and football are kind of the great equalizers. Because in football, if you just get super fat, you got a chance. And in baseball, I mean, it's just working at it.
Dan just, by the way, told me that I was in New York at the time, so I probably could have got, I wonder if I could. Like, do you think that...
Well, you were newer? You were LaGuardia.
I was LaGuardia.
So, do they have it legalized there? If you were there, you know, in person, if you had the app, would you have been able to gamble?
I don't even know if I would. Now, would I be able to collect, even though I'm in a different state?
Yes.
As long as you're standing in the state, placing the bet... It doesn't matter where you live, where you collect it. That's all that matters is where you place the bet at the time.
Yes, okay. Because when I was in Tennessee, I could gamble on sports, and I got sick of it, like, after one game. It was bowl season, and I thought I'd be, like, wheeling and dealing on the bowls.
Yeah.
And even, like, money didn't make me want to watch the games.
There's got to be people who live fairly close to the borders and just, like, go on over the New Hampshire border, place their bets.
Well, the people in Philadelphia that I was when I would go to Stephanie's, they would just drive to New Jersey and place bets.
Yeah.
Because Jersey had legalized sports gambling.
But yeah, there are parking lots right over the line in New Hampshire where people just pull off the highway.
I just don't like gambling enough.
You know, you have it ready to go, you do it, and then you get back.
I don't get that thrill from it. I don't get that.
You see, to me, it's not even like a massive thrill of the gambling. It's like something fun that adds to the March Madness experience. Like that. Now, to me, it's like having a bracket, but brackets take too long. And I, to be quite honest, the whole bracket thing, I'm not a huge fan of people on Twitter who go, "My bracket's busted." or this is March. That's another one I can't stand either.
Well, just that phrasing is enough to strangle someone.
Or sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the bracket being busted thing, I don't know, for some reason it kind of turned me off to it. But betting on the games, I wouldn't mind that. That'd be kind of a fun little thing you do while you're on the can. Set yourself up for the day.
Yeah.
And see, then you, you know,
see, let it roll. I think the experience at the sports book is what's fun.
Fred, a million times better. Yeah, a million times better.
That's more about like being with your friends. Yes. And like
you can't even compare the two, but right. It does add a little bit of an extra element if I can put, you know, $20 on, you know, each game that's playing.
The funny thing is even when I had no money, like $20, I don't care. Like, I just don't care. It doesn't add anything.
I live in the Massachusetts border. I go to the grocery store in New Hampshire just so I can place bets.
Well, if you live on the border, yeah
it's right over there.
But
I mean,
you're driving like an hour. It's not worth it to me. All right. Well, we have mentioned this. We mentioned this earlier this week. We will play some actual ghosts. We have found ghosts. We will play those for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you just call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Going to the Dropkick Murphys tonight, and they go on at 9:15.
Oh.
Is that
a deal breaker?
9:15, not late.
Very late for
get me. A nap in today at some point.
Yeah. 9:15 is not late.
No, I remember we saw the Agrolites one time. We went to this club in Alston, and we're like sitting there for like two bands. It was like a Wednesday night, and I'm like, and it was like 10 o'clock. I'm like, when are the Agrolites going on? They're like midnight. I'm like, 9:15. No, of course it's not late for like people that don't suck. It's late for me. It's late. They put an hour and a half in there. All right, Rich, we mentioned you worked for a radio show in Dallas, the Kid Craddock Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Kid Craddock had the idea that still makes no sense to me to have you spend you and some other people on the show spend the night in a haunted house.
Yes, and we found the most haunted house in Texas. And it was on Halloween evening, and they wanted to see, you know, whether we would be able to survive. I don't know what the bit was. All I do know is that when I showed up, there were a bunch of people who called themselves ghost hunters. And these ghost hunters, I mean, Halloween night, it was a big night for these guys. And I guess this is when all the ghouls come out, all the spooky ghouls.
Yeah, the undead.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the Judeo-Christian calendar or whatever it's called, and they say, oh, today's Halloween.
This is Halloween. So running around the house were a bunch of people with these weird backpacks, and I told you about how, you know, people had their they were looking for spirits, their spirit finders, and when I walked up, they were holding stud finders, actual Ace Hardware stud finders that said stud finder on the side. Unfortunately, no ghosts found, but they'd heard rumors that there were ghosts.
Sure.
All of them felt a presence, though.
Oh, all right.
So, Fred, the bit was not a bust because at least I got to interview those guys. I came back with audio from that, and that would made it worth it. But, organically, we were tipped off. Somebody said, all right, well, if you have any kind of inclination and fascination with these ghost hunters, maybe you should watch some of the shows that are out there. And I was informed about a gentleman by the name of Zach Baggins.
Yes.
Who I'm learning is the sexiest of all of the hobbits.
He is, you're telling me he's the Chris Angel of the ghost world.
This is a gentleman who works on a ghost hunting show called Ghost Adventures that I guess has been on Sci-Fi. Well, but this guy, he's bringing sexy back to the ghost hunting world.
Okay.
This
ain't your mother's ghost hunter is what you're saying.
So I started going down a little bit of a little rabbit hole with Mr. Zach Baggins. And there's one episode where Zach is in this haunted hospital. And he knows that there's something that might get these ghosts a little riled up.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, we are in a hospital that was built by nuns. And we were told by several people that people that come up here with tattoos get choked. So I am going to expose my tattoos right now.
Ooh. And I also like the electrical currents in the background. Like, here's a bunch of fake background noise. All right, so he's going to, because the nuns don't dig the tats.
No, they don't those like
are,
tattoos.
Those are for sailors and convicts is what they say.
In hopes that I get scratched or choked. So I heard you don't like
What was that, Mr. Zach Baggins?
Maybe you get scratched or choked. Asphyxiated.
Okay. All right, T.A.
I thought feet was your thing. No? It's different now?
Well, I mean, if you want to deprive me of oxygen while you
All right.
show me your feet, that's okay. not something right. I will turn down.
All right.
In hopes that I get scratched or choked. So I heard you don't like tattoos. Well, I got a really good tattoo that I don't think you're going to like too much. How do you like that tattoo?
Okay, so now he takes his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, Adam Levine? You know the world wanted to see it. We've all been waiting to see them baggins. What you got there? So he takes it off, and he has the corniest bat tattoo on his back.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And he goes, I heard you don't like that too. You sure as hell ain't going to like this.
I mean, so it's like a bat flying, like a Batman symbol?
Uh-oh.
I like how he's like got the balls on this guy to confront nothing.
Zach Baggins.
Zach Baggins is just like, I want a faux hawk. He's like, oh, look at me.
Sensitive fedora guy.
Yeah, I want to know where these pictures are being taken. Jonathan Davis, Zach Baggins.
That's right. I've eaten too much for a year, Zach Baggins.
All right, let's hear more about Zach Baggins. So Zach Baggins, you can tell, has got nuts on him because he's just saying straight up, hey, air, if you've got a problem with that,
I'll pick a fight with you.
I'm gonna Bert Weiss this shirt.
Only when I get that joke, Fred, you know that.
All right, now it just got creepy in here, man. Soul.
You want my soul?
Now what?
The stunt fighter's out of control.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Oh, that is.
That is a premonition machine.
Yes.
I mean, this Baggins. I mean, like, stop it. It's not worth it. Don't let them have your soul.
And he puts it on himself and goes, it looks like this thing did find a stud.
And then he's like, oh, you like that? Hey, nuns, I bet you haven't seen one of these before. Laugh gun! The bag mans are going to show you a bag full of two goodies. Testicle A and testicle B.
You want my soul? You like these tattoos?
At this exact moment, we're catching an unexplained female voice on our digital recorder, which is lying absolutely still.
You like these tattoos?
You like Molly Hatchet? Come on and get some. You like White Lion? I got weight over one nipple, and when the children cry under another.
Sure.
Is this one of the nuns reacting to one of my tattoos in particular? This one representing what I believe to be a demonic experience in Poveglia, Italy?
All of a sudden, Paulie's like, hey, what'd you do with my girlfriend? And all, he comes out with a tray with orange juice on it. Would you nerds like some orange juice?
You say you don't like guys with tattoos or people with tattoos. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So It's a ghost. Are you hiding there looking at me in the closet?
Yeah.
Ghost, are you naked?
Yeah. Okay.
Right there.
Please keep in mind that we are doing this because of numerous reports of tattooed people being attacked by...
You don't have to fart.
The ghost has gas.
Numerous reports of tattooed people being attacked by unseen forces here. And me taking my shirt off and showing my tattoos is garnering us evidence.
What do you want me to do? What are you going to do to me? You want me to suffer?
Does this spirit want me to suffer because of my tattoos?
Wow, I can feel you.
Let's go to the confessional and confess our sins.
I've been in dark, scary locations for a long time and I'm starting to like it.
We are in Yorktown Memorial Chapel, where the spirits of nuns have been known to become hostile at the sight of tattoos. We just made contact.
What do you want me to do?
But the nuns weren't finished with us.
I'm the son of the Pope.
I think they're scared of you, Zach. Listen, think.
Yeah. All right, I gotta stop it. I don't get it. Like, so they put a computer.
He's got a ghost interpreter. The spirit actually goes through. It possesses the speaking spell. It spits out something evil.
That's as cool as like a machine as you could have gotten. I mean, that is a speaking spell.
How many episodes of this?
Not enough.
Jesus. John, how many of these can you make? I mean, you got to cram as much background noise as you possibly can into every scene.
High production value.
Yes. I don't know how people sit through that. It's just a sea of sound.
I wonder what that would have sounded like without any sound effects or music.
It would have sounded like two dweebs in an empty hospital.
Right. Apparently, technology has not improved since 1981.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a Commodore 64, if you programmed it to say something.
That's when I was a kid, and we used to put P-H-A-R-T in fart.
Yeah. Boob. Boob. I heard you don't like tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it just so happens there's a bad boy.
Hey. How do you like that tattoo?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I mean, it just happens there's an outlaw.
That's you like Molly Hatchet?
How many of you have seen Entourage?
Get choked.
I was an extra on 3 episodes in season 2.
What do you want me to do? What are you going to do to me?
Yeah, what it would sound like? It would sound like nothing.
Right. It would just be a nerd yelling at nothing.
Yeah, it would sound like nothing. I mean, I don't know how people watch that without getting a headache.
Someone said, how have you guys never seen Ghost Adventures? Where do you find Ghost Adventures? That's on channels I don't reach.
And I also would never click on it. Like, it's nonsense. All right.
17 seasons?
No way.
Do they ever actually see a ghost?
17
I would think after season 3
nothing.
And you've seen nothing.
Well, it's because of the stud.
The stud finder's not good enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the person said he wanted him to suffer. Mm. I mean, the guy had a cool bat tattoo. He's like, too studly. Too studly. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
You'll never believe who Van Halen asked to replace David Lee Roth before Sammy Hagar. According to this person, also when actors can't stop being spooky for their role, and did someone in the know already spill the beans on Deshaun Watson's new destination?
All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare. And why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack
All right, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going down in the streets?
All right. Believe this, if you will. So we all know what happened when David Lee Roth was replaced from Van Halen. They just got better. I mean, not as good as the replacement of Sammy Hagar when they ended up going to Gary Cherone. That hit a different, completely different level.
Eddie's drinking got out of control and he fell in love with the keyboard.
So according to Daryl Hall of Daryl Hall and John Oates fame, he says that he was actually asked first to front Van Halen. He said, I knew those guys really well, and we actually shared some people, crew and things like that. Eddie came to a show with his then-wife, Valerie Bertinelli, and David had just left the band. Eddie said, do you want to join Van Halen, man?
Yeah, but I bet you Eddie was on, had been up for 3 nights. you know the real story, according to Sammy Hagar. There was another consideration to be the singer besides Sammy. And if you
oh yes, I do. It was Ronnie James Dio, correct?
Okay. I think I had heard that.
Can you imagine what a completely horrible mistake that would have been?
Well, a lot of people think Ronnie James Dio's Black Sabbath is even better than Ozzy's Black Sabbath, which by his blasphemy.
Mob Rules might be better.
It's
but,
fine.
I'm not a huge Ozzy fan, but do you know how bad for them that would have been? Like that Rhea Perlman running around going,
or him singing Panama.
Yeah,
like talking about being sexy.
Panama!
Like, I mean, it's like you went from like quote unquote the sexiest frontman of all time to, you know, the dude from Cheers.
Or like, you know, like your band's supposed to be fun. Like, and then you just get like some dude who's like, my grandmother made this to get away the occult.
He said, I do believe he was serious, and I took it seriously. I said, hey, I think not. I got my own blank going on. Now, according
to... Yeah, he turned him down. He's like, yeah, who needs to be? They just have a diamond record out. I don't... Who needs it?
I had heard this, too, that Van Halen approached Steve Perry of Journey as well. But, I mean, what was he going to quit Journey? Journey at the time was one of the biggest bands in the world.
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
They needed a... Listen, I don't like Van Hagar, but, I mean, it was obviously a good move. They needed, like, a corny rock singer. Like, they didn't need... Like, listen, Ronnie James Dio was corny as hell, but they didn't need, like, they needed, like, a fun, like, corny dude. Like,
they also approached Scandal's Patti Smyth.
That is true.
Yep, I'd heard that.
That is true.
And there was even a consideration of them doing almost a Santana-type situation where they just got a bunch of superstars singing for them, like you did on the old Smooth song
from
Matchbox 20.
Good luck.
They were going to have guys like Joe Cocker sing songs for them, which would have been interesting.
I like Joe Cocker from the one song he has.
What would you do if I sang out to you?
And we would all know it if John Belushi wasn't alive at one point.
Was that the song he did?
Yes, that was. And then that's the song John Belushi did the imitation of, which is the only reason that people our age know Joe Cocker existed.
Did he also do the ballad back in like the 80s? Love lift us up where we
belong. Oh, yes, you're correct. He
went all out in every song that he said.
That might have been a walk.
Dead or alive, Joe Cocker?
Oh, he's alive. He's got to be alive.
John?
I say dead.
I thought you were looking it up.
No, dead.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Well, I can see. I look it over your shoulder. I said in your headphones, dead or alive, Joe Cocker.
Do you think Joe Cocker...
Dead.
He's
dead.
He looks so terrible in the 60s. You would assume there was so little to, like, they, you know, he would have hung on for a while. When did he die?
2014.
Well, I don't recall that at all.
Yeah, well, died at the age of 70.
And usually that generation gets really high and mighty about those people that played at Woodstock.
Oh, sure.
So I'm surprised that they didn't make more of a big deal of it.
Well, Daryl Hall also confirmed that Eddie credited the keyboard riff from Kiss on My List, the famous Hall & Oates song, with inspiring his band's biggest hit. Quote, that's what he always told me. He said that inspired Jump. Dun, 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 dun. I would think it inspired Dreams by Van Halen almost. Dun, 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 dun,
Dreams,
dun,
which is really unforgivable.
I like Dreams. I think it's a good song. It's a good pop song. And I don't think you hear that and think it's a bad song. It's a good pop song.
I don't. I mean, Eddie just vomited on the keyboard there. He just said, give me the Casio and turn it to 10.
Well, that's what, I mean, look, that kind of music really, that increased album sales how much?
I don't know,
1984 album?
Well, yeah. On 80, but they never sold anything near what they sold as the original Van Halen with the new Van Halen.
Carnal Knowledge wasn't a massive hit.
Oh, I'm sure it was a hit.
Because that had, well, I mean, 1984 is one of the biggest albums of the 80s.
I mean, Diver Down had to have sold at least 70 million copies. No, but the 1984 is a diamond record. That's one of the highest selling records of all time.
For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, you think that sold more than 5150?
That had Runaround, right?
Yeah, well.
No. There's no way that sold more than 5150.
It had Right Now, which was a huge hit. It had Pound Cake, which is about, that. Not about cake.
No, Pound Cake is about banging sweet chicks. And also had a sweet drill where he went.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And you go, Eddie's been drinking.
Yeah, you might be right. 5150 might be their second biggest selling album.
I would bet you it's their third. I bet you the debut, 1984, and then 5150.
Maybe just because the debut's been out
And I am correct.
Longer.
Look at that.
Is that?
Well, just a real quick Wikipedia goes, Van Halen, 17 million. 1984, 17 plus million. And then 5150, 11 million.
Yeah, that was huge, man. That was a good album. I've always said,
not as good as Eat 'Em and Smile, though. Eat 'em and Smile, the David Lee Roth record. And if you listen to them both today, I bet you'd agree with me.
I like Eat 'em and Smile. I think 5150 is a great album. That's got it's got the song 5150, which I love. It's got Hot Summer Nights.
Best
of Both Worlds.
No, that's the OU 8 Wood 2.
What about No, Best of Both Worlds on 5150.
Is it?
It was the first single.
Oh, I'm thinking, no, the first single was Why Can't This Be Love?
I think the first single that, because they went out kind of like Women was the first single on Hysteria. I think Best of Both Worlds.
The only reason I'm pretty positive about that is I remember the radio station making a huge deal that this was the first time that you heard Sammy. I'm
not above reproach in this, and I will tell you, but Skyscraper by David Lee Roth had Hot Dog in a Shake.
That's what you're looking for. Hot Dog in a Shake. I listened to that album not too long ago, like less than a year ago.
Which is about the wiener and what comes out.
See, I thought the shake was that he was going to shake it around.
No, I think that it was like you get the hot dog, then you get the shake.
See, I don't know anyone who actually wants the shake in that way. I thought they just wanted, like, you know, the shake in the other way, like, you know, his physical.
Well, they wanted you to know that you did a good job.
Yes, that's right. You indeed completed your mission.
Yes, indeed.
All right. The one thing I regret about going down to my mother's was that I was not able to leave the photo out because it got so intensive when I was down there. Like, it was nonstop. And to be quite honest, I didn't really have the stomach for kind of fooling around when I was down there. I was like, all right. So I didn't do the Jared Leto as Jesus thing. But one thing about Jared Leto is he loves staying in character when the cameras are off. We heard the stories about him playing the Joker, and he was so twisted. He was sending like dead pig parts to people on the cast.
He was sending poo.
Yep. Oh, how spooky is this poo? Well, there's a new article in Variety about his brand new film, Morbius.
Who's seeing this thing?
I mean,
is this a Marvel situation?
It's Marvel, but I think even Marvel fans are like, why do we have to watch this?
Because sometimes now I'll use going to the movies is an excuse to get away from my family for a while. And I'm not seeing this thing.
Variety magazine has a quote. It says, I got scared for Jared. Morbius director Daniel Espinosa said of Jared Leto, he really commits. You have to watch out for it. In a scene involving Morbius shattering glass, I could sense the crew backed off. Yeah. It was a bit spooky. Oh, no.
I've met Jared Leto. He's really an intimidating presence.
Jared Leto was a nice guy when I met him.
I mean, he really liked our friend Jay.
He did. He liked him
an awful lot.
He was a fan of Jay.
Yeah, he was a fan of touching Jay. He was a fan of caressing Jay.
Interesting.
He was a fan of asking Jay what he was up to.
Well, I'm about 4 minutes away from being completely wrong with my prediction, but then again, I should have expected that Deshaun Watson will have announced where he was going to go before our show was over. Unfortunately, I was feeling irrationally optimistic this morning. As you know, he has told the Panthers they are out. We know that he has told the Cleveland Browns that they are out, which, of course, has gotten Baker Mayfield all pissed and running all around and wanting to get traded. But the two teams that they are now down to, the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. Both teams doing an amazing amount of work to try to clear some sort of space to get him in there. You had the Saints end up having a bunch of the players readjust their contracts, clearing about, I think, like $30 million worth of space. And then you had the Atlanta Falcons convincing Matt Ryan to move his roster bonus back 4 days so they can have time to make a decision. As I said, that's probably because Matt Ryan said, okay, well, if you bring him in here, I'll work with you as long as you don't send me to Siberia or the Panthers. So there was something that happened yesterday that could have given you an indication as to where he might go. Kyle Pitts. We all know Kyle Pitts is going to end up being a superstar. He's the tight end over there in Atlanta. He posted a since-deleted tweet saying, quote, "It's about to get scary in Atlanta." Maybe Zach Baggins is going to show up and take his shirt off.
Possibly. Are you afraid of Sasa?
How do you like that tattoo?
How do you like that? He said, "It's about to get scary in Atlanta," with a mouth zipped shut emoji. And here's a fun fact. Kyle Pitts shares the same agent as Deshaun Watson.
Well, I just read something that Matt Ryan, the deal that Matt Ryan, that this is all happening, makes it seem like Atlanta's fairly confident they're going to get Deshaun Watson. And then that will clear the way for Matt Ryan to go to
the Steelers?
Indianapolis. Oh. No, the Steelers are sticking with Trubisky.
That's going to be
for
their
better game. Or for worse. That is what they're doing.
So every one of these guys should be praying they go to the Colts. Jimmy Garoppolo should be praying he goes to the Colts. Baker Mayfield.
I guess the Indianapolis wants Ryan. That's who they want, apparently.
He'd be perfect.
Yeah. So,
although I don't,
I still don't think they make the playoffs. But yes, they would want Matt Ryan.
You don't think that the with AFC Matt Ryan
is, the AFC is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean the Colts have. I mean, how many Pro Bowlers do they have this year? They got the best running back in the game.
But they didn't make the playoffs. And the AFC has only gotten better. I just don't. Who knows? Who knows? But on paper, the way this is going, if you look on paper, I mean the AFC is ridiculous. The seventh seed, it's up for grabs because I don't think the Steelers are going to be bad. I mean, Cincinnati, Baltimore's had a good offseason. Buffalo's going to win the East. Then you got, you know, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Denver, Kansas City, Vegas, and the Chargers.
Dan's right. Nobody's talking about Tennessee. And Tennessee's still great.
Weren't they the number one seed last year?
They were.
Overall number one seed. Yeah. That's right.
I think it's just because of the bad taste in people's mouth from Ryan Tannehill. People are forgetting about him, including me. Gloss him over.
The AFC North isn't bad, right? Like, they're not. It's not bad.
Not terrible.
Okay.
You've got a team that went to the Super Bowl, the AFC North.
Right, exactly. So the AFC South has got two seemingly good teams, one very good team, and the AFC West is stacked. So I'm not positive Indianapolis with Ryan makes the playoffs. But listen, do they need Matt Ryan?
Yes.
Yes.
They need Matt
absolutely.
Ryan.
Absolutely. I'm just not positive. Do I think they shouldn't take Matt Ryan? Absolutely not. I think they should get Matt Ryan. I'd rather have Matt Ryan than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Matt Ryan's a little underrated.
Our big baby story has been picked up by the
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Picked up by whom?
CBS is now writing about it. And I mean, it's funny. Maybe we'll get more information today or this over the weekend. Maybe he'll be in studio on Monday.
No, or maybe Big Baby will get pissed off that we leaked that he was going to court today and those come after all of us.
Well, it leaked. I mean, it was before we even said anything. There was the whole filing that they put up there wanting him to leave the state.
Maybe Big Baby could do a recreation of the American Males video with Mr. Jamelli.
I like it. I like what you're thinking. We'll propose that when he gets here Monday.
All right, so a week from today, Pasta Joe doing stand-up.
Is that confirmed?
Yes. And then we will have every Friday for 4 weeks a new person in our universe doing it in honor of Big Baby Glenn Davis, who will never be in this studio because they'll never get him in here. All right, that'll do it for us. You know what? Enjoy the hell out of this weekend. All right, gang? That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.